Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. And you can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Right now, we are giving away $200 in slot play to Sasquatch Casino up in Blackhawk. First four callers are going to get $50 each. If you have won in the past, you are not eligible to win again. And while you're up there, you can see how you can win a Ford Mustang RTR on Father's Day, Sunday, June 20th. And if you don't want it, they're going to give you nearly $23,000 in cash instead. Again, first four callers, 303-831-1340. 303-831-1340. You're going to be getting $50 in slot play to Sasquatch and Wildcard Casinos. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
At the risk of completely discounting how you feel about what I'm about to say, because you and I feel very differently about this, Albert Breer, NFL reporters reporting the Jets and the Broncos will be represented at Justin Fields' second pro day tomorrow in Columbus. Both of the GMs from both teams were at his first pro day. And the reason why I'm saying I look at this differently than you are is because it's a duh. Well, of course somebody from the Broncos is going to be there, because the Broncos, I'm guessing, are trying to do all of their due diligence on all the quarterbacks. I just don't see this as news, but I know for you, you see this as probably significant news.
Well, I think it would have been more significant if they said they weren't going. And this is just kind of...
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you. We agree.
This is confirming what we expected. Now, the interesting thing about this pro day, you've got...
Who gets the miles on their credit card?
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing, though, about this pro day, and also the one that Trey Lance is going to have, he's doing a second pro day at North Dakota State, is that the first pro day, largely scripted by the player and his coaches. Now, Justin Fields, at the end of his workout, took some requests, which is actually where the throw that had everyone kind of gaga came from. It was a team request. This pro day is going to be orchestrated by the few teams that are going to be there. So you got the Jets, you've got the Broncos, I believe you have the Patriots, you have the 49ers that are going to be there. So it's a chance for it. Let's say the Broncos send Pat Shurmur, their offensive coordinator, and Shurmur can say, okay, Justin, why don't you do a little sprint right option here? Can you show us this? So this is...
That's not what he's going to say.
I know.
Can I tell you what he's going to say? Yeah. Do you think you can operate in a 3 wide receiver set with one tight end and one running back? Can you operate an offense like that, that is not only our base offense, but pretty much our entire offense? Are you capable of doing that? You're the wrong guy, because I'm not changing my system for you.
And I'll be just
too negative
to say, absolutely, coach, whatever you want to do, I'm down for it. Let's go.
You know, I'm joking.
But if he were asked something like that, he would probably have a very enthusiastic response that would affirm that he was perfectly capable of running that. He'd probably start telling you about all the three wide 11 personnel concepts that they ran at Ohio State and say, I did it there, I can do it with you.
Okay, with that, some Broncos players, we talked about this near the top of the show, it's worth getting into again. Some Broncos players talked in January about the benefit of gathering in the offseason. Well, now that's not going to happen. NFLPA put out a statement on behalf of the Broncos players saying that without adequate protocols in place, they will be exercising their right not to participate in voluntary offseason workouts. Player rep Brandon McManus said this: "We possibly see value in virtual meetings, but in person at this time, especially with Colorado's fourth wave coming through here of COVID, the positivity rate now is 3 times higher than what it was when we canceled the off-season program last year. So why are we getting forced into that? Just because we made it through last season, we work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Players leave on the weekend. How do you test to come back into the building? People take vacations out of the country and come back in and test positive, and still they are among us. There's been nothing agreed upon with the NFL. All the players are looking for is a fair negotiation, and it hasn't been that way. What do you think about what Brandon said?
Couple of things. Number one, I think what he's also saying is that they went through 5.5 months of being kind of under pretty strict, I wouldn't call it quarantine, but pretty strict protocols, that they don't want to go through it again. That they want to be able to work out, but also then go on vacation and not have to worry about coming back and
early, coming back early. And you know what? Yeah. I saw some people on Twitter say, it's your job, man. It's your job. But you know what the truth is? Mm-hmm. That, yes, it is their job. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yes, that is their job. Mm-hmm. But it is not your job to have to come back early. That is not your job. If you want to come back Sunday night, you should be allowed to come back on Sunday night. But you're probably going to have to get to Dove Valley sometime in the afternoon, maybe even the morning, to take your test. And then let's see if you test positive. You are rankling somebody's vacation. And that's not right. Why should a team have control over your off time because of COVID protocols? I don't necessarily disagree with that. Do you?
I don't disagree with it, no. And I mean, it is the off season. It is.
Although I want to know who's going out of the country on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. No one's going to Japan or Amsterdam, are they?
They're going to Cabo.
Yeah.
I mean, when he said that, the weekend trip out of the country, the first place that popped in my head was Cabo.
Okay. Because I'm thinking, who's going to London?
Yeah, nobody's. Yeah, you're not going to London that quickly. One thing that's interesting in the statement the NFLPA put out, which I would presume that Brian McManus, being the NFLPA rep, had a hand in crafting, is that statement says, quote, "We know players have been infected at club facilities in recent weeks," unquote. What do you make of that?
I don't think they're making it up.
I don't think so either. I mean, we haven't heard about it because we haven't had daily practice reports and all that.
Right.
But players have been working out on their own at team facilities. In that regard, it's been a relatively normal offseason to this point, as far as some players coming in and lifting weights on their own.
Right.
The only coaches you can work with right now are your strength coaches.
Right.
That's it.
Okay. So as of right now, only the Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks are skipping voluntary workouts. By the way, does this include, to your best of your knowledge, does this include virtual meetings?
To my knowledge, it does not.
Okay, so they're still going to do virtual.
Sounds like they're still going to do virtual meetings.
Okay. That's fine. Well, they can do that in Cabo all week.
Yeah.
Right? Or they can go to London.
Frankly, this is what the NFLPA would like. They'd like to have the offseason truncate, because right now OTAs are 8 weeks and you've got a mandatory 3-day mini camp.
Right.
The NFLPA, I think, would love to get that down to a mandatory 3 days.
Right.
And the rest of it is virtual. And actually, the interesting thing is that would resemble old school off seasons. Now, in old school off seasons back in the 70s, for example, the team would get together for basically a weekend,
right,
at some point in the off season. But then, to get players in shape, the players would report for training camp,
right,
around July 10th, because they needed that time to literally get in shape. They had 6 preseason games back in those days. Now they only have 3. Players do a lot more training on their own now. You don't have the player who spends the off season, running a business or in grad school or something like that. Those are far more rare than they used to be. Most players now spend their off season working on their own, getting in condition, being ready for the season. And this is part of their argument as to why they feel they don't need to be in the building as often.
Coming up after the break, our top story today, and this is a major one. Jamal Murray out for the season with a fully torn, I don't know if it's fully torn, a torn ACL. Chris Marlowe, voice of the Nuggets, joins us next.
Pick and choose, sit and lose, all you different crews, chicks and dudes, so you think is really kicking tunes. Picture you.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Guys, I want to talk to you about a subject that is not easy to talk about. It's not easy to think about. The question is, what are you doing about it? And I'm talking about erectile dysfunction. Here's the deal, man. This is the place you need to go. Revive Performance for Men. Why? They specialize in ED, and they have something called Gaines Wave Therapy, which has the ability to be a permanent solution. Let me say that again. Has the ability to be a permanent solution. It is simple. It is painless. There are no pills, which you have to wait like 30 minutes from what I've been told. And who wants to, you know, watch a rerun of Happy Days while you're waiting to go? And I certainly wouldn't want a shot, because I can tell you right now, that shot is exactly where you think that shot is going to be. Do it for yourself, but more importantly, do it for your partner, because chances are she's been thinking about it and doesn't feel comfortable talking to you about it, and you probably don't feel comfortable talking about it either. Go to Revive Performance for Men. You can find them at rpm-colorado.com. That's rpm-colorado.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge, or go to rmfp.com.
All right, let's go out to the hotline. I want to bring in our friend Chris Marlowe. He is the voice on television of your Denver Nuggets. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing well, Eric. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. Listen, you are around the team every day. I can't even imagine what it's like around the club right now. When you saw Jamal Murray just crumble into the ground, and then you heard the news today, what were the first thoughts that went through your mind? Besides, obviously, you hope that the recovery is really, really good for Jamal Murray.
Yeah, you know, I was hoping that it wasn't a serious injury, because I didn't quite see it clearly at the outset when he crumpled. But then when we showed the replay, I knew it was bad. I knew it was probably a torn ACL. You're hoping for the best today, and today we got the bad news that it is a torn ACL. And so this is a major blow to the Denver Nuggets. I don't think there's any doubt about it, but I don't think it's the end of the world for the Denver Nuggets. I still think there's plenty of talent on this team. They've got maybe the best player in the league in Nikola Jokic and some great pieces around him. And I think after the entire day has kind of moved along, I'm kind of in that forward-thinking mode now of what can the Nuggets do to get better? How do they respond to this? And where can they go?
You mentioned the great pieces around Jokic. Which of those specifically are going to need to step up the most, elevate their games a bit, to try to compensate for Jamal's loss?
Well, they played the last four games without Jamal, and they won three of them. I think Michael Porter Jr. is the obvious answer. He's been scoring the basketball great. He rebounds really well. Can he take it to the next level? Yeah, he's gotten 22, I think, in the last two games, and he's 3 of 19 from 3. So I could see a scenario where Porter gets more shots. He'd been making 50% of his shots and all of his threes. So I think he is going to be it's now a 1-2 punch with Nikola Jokic and Michael Porter Jr. I'm expecting them to get 50 or 60 a night. I think Will Barton has the ability to get 20. I think Aaron Gordon has that ability. I think he's got to be more aggressive offensively. And I think there are selected guys that on certain nights can go off and get you points. I think P.J. Dozier has shown he can do that. I think Jermichael Green has shown that he has some scoring abilities. Monte Morris got 21 two games ago. I was thinking about it in this thing. If everybody on the team that's going to play can play 10% better than they have been playing throughout the season, then I think the Nuggets have a chance to kind of, by aggregate, make up for the loss of Jamal Murray.
We are talking with Chris Marlowe, the longtime television voice of the Denver Nuggets. You and I spoke on the phone this morning and asked you something, and I hopefully had a chance to think about it. I don't want to go back to the days of, you know, Alex English and those teams with Doug Moe. Let's talk about the teams that you and I have covered, specifically the 2009 team that went to the Western Conference Finals with Carmelo Anthony and Chauncey Billups. They were close to getting to the NBA Finals. Of course, this, generally speaking, this group of guys almost got to the NBA Finals last year against the Lakers. And now you have this team right now with Aaron Gordon, and I'm going to include Jamal Murray. Of the teams that you have been around, when you look at this roster, if this team played last year's team in a seven-game series, and if this team played the 2009 team in a seven-game series, which team wins the seven-game series? Who's the better team?
Well, I'm just going to take part of that. I don't really want to compare this team with last year's
team.
Sure,
that's fair.
They're both great teams.
Yes.
But I would tell you that the 2008-2009 team, that team was loaded with talent.
Yep.
And they had very balanced talent also. I mean, they had scoring with Carmelo and Nene and Canby, and they had defense with Kenyon Martin and Dante Jones. They had a solid bench. I think that team was a much better defensive team than the two teams of the last two seasons. I would say that. I think they were more experienced. They were gritty and tougher. So that's why I would favor the 2009 team in a series against either last year's team or this year's team. Now, this year's team, I think, potential-wise, assuming everybody's healthy and Murray's, you know, everybody's at the top of the game, I think this team more potential than those teams. But maybe not right now. I always kind of felt coming into the season, even after the Nuggets acquired Gordon, that maybe they were one piece away, another step away, a 3-and-D guy, a Jay Crowder type that could come in and lock down perimeter guys like Gordon. You know, with that 2009 team, Kenyon Martin was a great big man defender. I mean, he could take on Dirk Nowitzki one-on-one and slow him down. And Dante Jones.
Yeah, he was great.
In those early series, I mean, he guarded Chris Paul and shut him down. And the Nuggets beat them by 58 in one game. So I love that 2009 team. I think the 2010 team, the year that that George got cancer, that might have been even a better team.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it wasn't to be. So I think these are all terrific teams. I think the Jokic group is going to get better and better as they add more pieces. And, you know, if Murray comes back healthy next year, 100%, and they can add another piece or two, I think the sky is the limit for this team.
I guess maybe another way to put it, Chris, is I've been here about 16 years. I know you've been here probably just a little bit longer than me. But looking at all the teams that we've been around, I think people with Aaron Gordon's addition kind of looked at this team as maybe the best roster to win a title in franchise history. Maybe. But you're saying you think maybe it was that 2009 or 2010 team.
Well, they just had less players back then. And I almost think that the rosters, you know, they're kind of built now for 17 players. And I think it's really a dilemma for head coach Michael Malone on who to play and when to play them. I think there are a lot of talented guys on this team, young guys that have potential, veteran guys that are really good, and stars. But when you've got 15 guys that can play, it puts a burden, you know, on the head coach. So, you know, it's hard to compare rosters. I think that's the moving forward. I think the biggest thing for Coach Malone is figuring out that second group. I mean, the starters are going to be pretty well settled. It's either going to be Faku or Monte Morris starting with Barton and the other four, the other three guys. And I think that is going to be a key. But the second unit, who plays? What do you do with the bigs? Should JaVale McGee be in there? When Barton and Faku or Barton and Monte is in there, who do you want handling the ball? You know, who do you want to be as your scorer? So I think they've got 18 games left. They need to figure that out quick.
What do you expect offensively from Aaron Gordon now in terms of potentially picking up the slack? I mean, because you look at the last few years, he in Orlando was about a 14.5 to 17.5 point score. He's averaged 11.3 since he came over. Do you think he helps fill that void?
I do. And I think Aaron Gordon has been a terrific pickup. But I think that he is almost bent over backwards to try to fit in. Wants to be the good soldier. He's been very, very unselfish, you know, trying to do the little things, pass, cut, rebound, defend. But they're going to need his offense, and he can score the basketball. I mean, he's not a 30-point-per-game scorer like Porter can be. But, you know, he's shown in a couple of games he can get you 20, he can get you 25. So I expect Aaron Gordon, yeah, to take on. It's kind of interesting, I think, how the roles now are going to evolve for the Denver Nuggets with the absence of Murray. I think there are going to be some guys that do step up, some with scoring, some with passing. I think another key for the Denver Nuggets is what's going to happen to Will Barton. You know, can Barton be the star that he thinks he is?
Wow.
I know that sounds kind of funny.
Chris! Chris!
He has got this karma about him. I mean, he looks like a star. He's got physical abilities to be a star. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes, you know, he's just a little too ball handle heavy. And I think if Barton does the things that he's really good at, he can really help you. He can get you 25 points. He can get you 6 or 7 rebounds. He can assist. He can play defense. If he's going to dribble the ball out of the air for 24 seconds and then try to take a turnaround corkscrew, that's going to hurt the Nuggets' continuity. So I think as we go along here, the roles are going to evolve. I think Faku is going to have a bigger role. I think P.J. Dozier has a chance to take a step up. And I think it's going to be kind of fun to see how this team shapes up now. The stretch drive is on and the playoffs are coming up.
Chris, I want to ask you one more thing before we cut you loose. And I want to ask you this not as a broadcaster, but as an athlete, a guy who won a gold medal in the 1984 Olympics in volleyball. You were a terrific beach volleyball player. For those that don't know, Chris Marlowe's nickname was The Lion. Did you know that?
I did not know
that. It was The Lion because he was an intense volleyball player. And your blonde hair was kind of unruly, wasn't it? Is that why you were called The Lion, because of your mane?
Yeah, big mouth, loud voice, long mane.
Right. Well, that's I'm two-thirds of that. Big mouth, loud voice, and I have very little hair. But I digress. As an athlete, we look at what happened, and I know you're speculating, but I'm asking you this as an athlete who played at the highest level. Jamal Murray missed 4 games with a right knee injury. He tore his left ACL. As an athlete, when you are injured on one side of your body, is it just almost kind of normal to favor the other side where something like this could possibly happen?
No, I don't. I place no credence in that theory. I don't think it had anything to do with that. Jamal Murray just came down wrong, just like Danilo Gallinari came down wrong, and just like Joe Theismann was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Sometimes stuff happens, and he's just unlucky. And I never had an injury where I tore up my knee. I did have several really bad high ankle sprains. Well, they were just called ankle sprains back in the day. That one that kept me out for over a month. And that's because I came down on someone's foot. And so I just think, you know, sometimes fate is the hunter, so to speak, and things happen. And let's hope that Jamal, you know, Jamal, one thing about him, he's a gnarly dude, and he's going to attack, I think, this rehab and try to come back quickly and try to, you know, be available sometime next year for the Denver Nuggets. So, yeah, unfortunate. Don't think it had anything to do with his other knee. He just landed wrong, and that's the way I see it.
Well, I don't want to top you as an athlete, Chris, but when I was at overnight camp, I was the tetherball champion, and then I suffered a high ankle sprain, and I had to give up my crown at the age of 12.
Boy.
So I can relate.
That's kind of weak sauce if you sprain your ankle with tetherball. Most people don't even know what tetherball is, but I do.
There's a lot of jumping involved, Chris. I mean, you think you jump a lot in sand playing volleyball, but in tetherball, that concrete is hard. And if you come down wrong, someone is going to take that ball over your head, spin it around, and before you know it, you're out of the tournament. I mean, you smell what I'm stepping in, right?
It sounds like someone got the best of you in tetherball.
Yeah, you stepped in something already.
Well, I did not step on somebody else's foot. It was a freak injury, kind of like Dan Marino with his Achilles. Chris, thanks so much for your time,
thanks,
man.
Chris.
Hey, great being on. Thanks a lot, Phil.
Appreciate it. Chris Marlowe, Altitude Sports and Entertainment, the voice of your Denver Nuggets. Coming up after the break, well, those Atlanta Falcons, are they going to surprise everybody and take a quarterback? Well, if you listen to their new GM, they might not want to trade out of that number 4 overall pick. We'll explain next. So hard to keep her satisfied.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Colorado Off-Road in Littleton. If you need major accessory brands or something off-market for your truck, car, Jeep, or SUV, they've got it. Upfit today at Colorado Off-Road or go to cooffroad.com.
In an interview on the Falcons website and social media channels, Falcons GM Terry Fontenot discussed the Falcons' philosophy at quarterback. He said, "We want to stack good quarterbacks. If the Falcons follow this and take a quarterback and they have Matt Ryan as well, what does that mean for the Broncos? Do you think this is a smokescreen? And what do you think about stacking quarterbacks?"
I love stacking quarterbacks. I think the Broncos should have stacked the quarterbacks in 2018.
They
wanted Baker Mayfield and they wanted Sam Darnold.
Yeah, but there's a difference between stacking a borderline Hall of Famer with a fourth overall pick.
Yeah, even more reason than to bring in another quarterback if you don't have a borderline Hall of Famer starting.
You don't use the number 4 overall pick in the draft when you feel, if you feel, Matt Ryan has about 5 good years left.
Yeah, and that's
don't stack then.
And that's the whole debate here. Do the Falcons feel that Matt Ryan can keep going, or do they feel that his time is nearing its end? Now, that's why the smokescreen thing is so interesting, because I think that's a legitimate possibility. We know, based on things that have leaked out of the Falcons organization, that Terry Fontenot, the general manager, who, by the way, interviewed for the Broncos job, which is part of what makes this sentiment so interesting. Terry Fontenot was leaning heavily toward quarterback, specifically, according to reports, Trey Lance. Arthur Smith, the new head coach, an offensive-minded head coach who just got done helping turn Ryan Tannehill from a guy whose career appeared lost into one who's now a probably you could say a solid second-tier quarterback with whom you can win. And the perception was that Arthur Smith believed, hey, I can get a few years out of Matt Ryan. We can microwave this thing, give me a top target from the number four overall pick, and we can be really cooking on offense.
Let's talk about stacking and cooking for a minute, okay? So the Atlanta
pancakes?
No.
Well, I mean, we're stacking and cooking.
No, we're gonna stack meat here. If you want a turkey sandwich, you cook a turkey and you cook it perfectly, and then you keep taking slices off of that turkey that you brined for 24 hours and you stuffed with aromatics, and you keep stacking that sandwich with really good turkey. That's what the Falcons might do. Now, as far as what the Broncos did, they were stacking with processed turkey. That's what they were stacking
unless
with.
They had drafted Josh Allen. Of course, they weren't really in on Josh Allen. They weren't keen on him back in 2018.
Well, clearly, in hindsight, that was a mistake. Yes. It's not that they didn't want to stack quarterbacks. They just didn't feel he was worth the 7th overall pick in the draft, or more importantly, he wasn't worth the 5th overall pick in the draft.
But then you think
quarterback who has a lot of years left and he's really good, I'm sorry, you don't stack quarterbacks because you got to pay that second quarterback, if he's really good, who you're stacking with, a lot of money. Right?
But I think the point with the Falcons is they want somebody who can develop. And also, the other thing that you consider is Terry Fontenot comes from New Orleans. And this past year, of course, they had Drew Brees. But then they had Taysom Hill, who maybe it confounds the rest of us, but Sean Payton is very high on Taysom Hill, and they made a point of keeping him. And then they stacked some Jameis Winston, who had shown some flashes.
There's a difference. Been inconsistent. There's a difference.
Yeah,
though.
But you're overcommitting the position compared to the Broncos last year. Their move behind Drew Lock was to not stack it as well as
couldn't
possible.
Couldn't agree more.
Let's bring in Jeff Driscoll. And that's
they didn't want to give him competition.
And
Jameis Winston, yes. Jameis Winston came cheap. Jameis Winston has history, some good, some comes with a lot of interceptions.
He might have come, and imagine if the Broncos had brought him in, he might have come
and
at a bargain.
And Taysom Hill was the project of projects. That's not stacking. What that is doing is that's saying when Drew Brees, who's probably close to retiring, we have a project who we're not paying a lot of money to, and we have Jameis Winston, maybe can re-energize his career here when Drew Brees retires. That was a perfect storm.
But it was also probably committing more than a lot of teams would have. And that my point is that...
Financially?
But maybe not financially.
Well,
but
if you're going to have to do it
usually
financially.
Usually you're going to have to bring in that. But quarterback being so important, last year... I would argue the Broncos probably made a mistake.
They did. Not probably. They did make a mistake.
Saying, we're going to go for a guy who was deemed not good enough to be the backup quarterback in Detroit. This is our best choice. It's not. Now, even if the Broncos don't draft a quarterback, I think we're going to get resolution here over the next 2.5 weeks.
Right.
And maybe that resolution is Teddy Bridgewater. Maybe it's Gardner Minshew. Heck, if you want to go with the stacking theory, maybe it's both Teddy Bridgewater and Gardner Minshew.
By the way, we do have some news. We told you at the a couple times during this show that the Broncos players have opted out of voluntary workouts. So have the Seattle Seahawks. And now the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers have opted out. We'll see if other teams do. 3 down. 29 to go.
Well, and the Bucs are a big domino being the defending champions, although I think we all know that Tom Brady is going to gather his guys over at Berkeley Prep High School in Tampa and get some throwing sessions in.
All right, what do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
Rockies and Dodgers getting after it in Southern California this evening. We will talk about that game a little bit. Also, is there a new top destination in the NFL for free agents? We will get into that next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports. It'll be all right, all right. It just takes some time.
with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen to 98.1 FM. 107.5 HD3. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it.
The final word is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, the Arizona Cardinals have added another free agent as they have signed former Pittsburgh Steelers running back James Conner to a one-year deal. Besides maybe the last two Super Bowl champions, Kansas City and Tampa Bay, are the Arizona Cardinals the top hot destination for NFL free agents?
They are a hot destination, aren't they?
Yeah, but, about 107 degrees in the summer.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm totally all in on them. Are you? You know what they are? They are what the Cleveland Browns were a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Not in terms of destination, but the sexy pick. They're the sexy pick.
And with the Browns, it was just a matter of, as it turned out, getting the right coach in there. When they got Kevin Stefanski on board this past season, and that was how it all came together. It's a little different in Arizona because I feel like Cliff Kingsbury knows much more about what he's doing than Freddie Kitchens did with Cleveland. You don't get the same sense of mismanagement from the Cardinals that you did from the Browns back in 2019, when really the Browns should have broken through that year and didn't. And it also kind of put a wrench in Baker Mayfield's development as well. Now he's back on track. So I think it's anticipation. Another thing that I think is also in play is that is, and very similar to the AFC North, it's a tough division. Seattle is messed up, but you've still got Russell Wilson as the quarterback there. The Rams, I expect, be better with Matthew Stafford at quarterback this coming season. And then the 49ers are definitely going better, and they're coming off the Super Bowl appearance so a couple of years ago. So you've got such competition there. Arizona could do everything right and be a third place 10-7 team.
Right.
But yeah, they are a hot destination, but the juice hasn't matched the squeeze just yet.
I guess I probably should have said popular instead of hot, but you guys still got the gist of the question. So speaking of another team that's hot, the Los Angeles Dodgers taking on the Colorado Rockies from LA tonight, 8 p.m. first pitch scheduled for. Start of a three-game series here, and the Rockies are currently 3-7. Dodgers currently 8-2. What do you expect first, Rockies to be in double-digit losses or the Dodgers to be in double-digit wins?
Dodgers to be in double-digit wins. Yep. The Dodgers are not hot right now. Winning 8 out of 10 is pretty par for the course for this team. Mm-hmm. 7 of 10, par for the course. They're going to win a lot of baseball games this year. It's kind of like in the NCAA basketball tournament. Do you want this team or the field? When Tiger was going well, do you want Tiger or the field? And that's the way it is in baseball. Do you want the Dodgers or do you want the field?
Even though baseball as a sport does lend itself to more random outcomes.
No question.
We saw even last year, you go back to the NLCS and the World Series. Atlanta and Tampa Bay did a hell of a lot of things right in those series.
Yeah.
And one lost in 7 and one lost in 6. And frankly, I think what the Rays and Braves did would have been good enough to probably beat everybody else. but the Dodgers.
No.
That's the challenge that you face with those guys.
Talked yesterday with Mike Chambers about some of the trades the Avs made at the NHL trade deadline. Anything else from the NHL stand out to you guys as far as moves made other than the Avalanche, or a specific move on the Avalanche you didn't get to touch on with Mike that you'd like to shine more of a light on?
Maybe Taylor Hall. We'll see what he could do, right?
You want to see what he can do, but at the same time, it goes back to something I mentioned to Mike Chambers yesterday. He only had 17 trades at the deadline. It was the slowest deadline day in 20 years, and like Mike said, probably because of the COVID environment and the hard cap everybody's dealing with this year.
All right, that was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, you need to see why Masterpiece Roofing was recently voted Denver's best roofing company. And you know what? Their customers love them as well. Masterpiece Roofing has over 85-star Google reviews. Call for a free roof inspection today, and you can see how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. It's pretty good stuff. They specialize in that stuff. Whether it's roofing, painting, gutters, windows, or siding, let them turn your home into a masterpiece. Talking about Masterpiece Roofing, go to masterpieceroofing.com. And Nilo, great job again today. Same with you, Danny. Mace, terrific show. I will try and do better tomorrow. Make it the best possible night you can.
Apologize for acting, stinking, treating you this way. Cause I've been acting like sour milk all on the floor. It's your fault, you didn't shut the refrigerator. Maybe-